You're listening to Clack Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Welcome to Side B, everybody. As always, I'm Doc. I'm joined by Armand. We're switching it up this week. We normally don't have a guest, but we're kind of doing... We did the guest first. We had Taylor on Side A. If you haven't listened, go listen to it. It was a great conversation. And now we've got some hip-hop to talk about.
Sometimes whenever we have guests on the show, let me just want to say this. Like, sometimes I'm like, man, we should have more guests on the show because the conversations are really good. But then I'm like, eh.
Like, it's a lot of work.
That's a lot of work. We got to coordinate time. Doc and I have been setting aside Tuesday evenings for like the last 10 years. Whatever. But yeah, there's some things. There's some music going on. For sure. Where do you want to go first?
Let's start with something we're not going to spend a ton of time on, but I want to acknowledge, which is Pop Smoke. I want to say Pop Smoke released an album. Pop Smoke did not release an album. An album of Pop Smoke's material was released.
Was he signed to Def Jam?
No, he signed to Stephen Victor, right? Through
That's why I assumed Def Jam because of Stephen Victor. Maybe because he's got his own deal, actually. That doesn't surprise me, but okay. All right, cool.
Stephen Victor has a deal through Republic Records.
Okay.
Got it. So he came out with his new album, mm-hmm. which did not have the much mocked album cover. They switched it up.
Yeah. Some of those album covers that people were saying were better than Virgil's weren't better than Virgil's. A lot of them weren't. And then the album cover that they went with wasn't any better either.
It was fine.
It's a rose with a parental advisory sticker. Like, you couldn't pay, I don't know, you couldn't pay one of these kids that doesn't, because there were some good designs. You couldn't pay one of these kids, you know, on the low end and give them a credit and a look. Like, I don't know. It wasn't, but ultimately, because there was no banter about the follow-up cover, it just, like, furthers the point that, like, album covers, they're not what they were in terms of importance. Like, they're not. At this point, people just need an image to associate the music, the song, or the project with. It's really not that serious.
I mean, hey, you're talking to the guy who scribbled out exactly. our album cover with my
exactly,
on my
exactly, exactly, and it was perfect. That's all we is all we needed. Nobody was like, "Yo, that album cover's whack." Nobody cared. Actually, I got a couple comments we post like, "Yo, your artwork is so good."
I saw that and I thought they were being sarcastic.
Nah, that's my homegirl. Like she was legit. She's legit. Okay. Yeah, nah, man, that stuff don't matter no more.
So, Pop Smoke's album.
Did you listen to it?
I did because I liked the beats on Meet the Woo too.
You did. There's a couple joints on there for sure.
Yeah. Even though he's got some of the same producers for sure.
Of course. Yeah, that one makes sense.
Some 808 Mellow, right? Definitely Wonder Girl. You know, for sure. But largely speaking, this project is not it.
Huh.
Period. For me.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
The beats are a like real notable, like I don't know who in his crew was. Like, I don't know if he had a real good ear for beats. I don't know if there's like somebody in his crew who helped him with beat selection and they weren't involved because, you know, now 50's involved and other people are involved or whatever.
Right.
But because 50 is the executive producer, I don't even know what that meant for this. But like, there's a lot of, I don't know, the beats on here were just, there's nothing on the level of the best stuff from Meet the Woo 2. Right, like Invincible, even Shake the Room, Christopher Walking, like there's no. Just
I do think a lot of that has to do with like the ownership of the music, and I do feel like those albums after a rapper dies, like they really suffer from that, like where it's like you're not gonna bring in, you know, if Pop had, you know, friends or family members who were like involved in the creative process. That were helping him select with beat selection and stuff. Like Stephen Victor and his team aren't going to bring those guys in. They're going to bring in the big names. They're going to bring in. It's honestly, dog. It's like a gentrified version of what what that would be. And we ascribe gentrification to one aspect, but a lot of these albums after people die, like that's what happens. That's why it's so, that's why it was such a big deal, you know, that Afeni, when Afeni would co-sign a Tupac album, because then all of a sudden there was like a, this is what Tupac would have wanted. Well, sure. You know, maybe was Afeni in the studio all the time? Like maybe, maybe not, but you know, better that than, you know, let's bring Eminem in with some beat tapes and let's see what we can do. And I think if you're saying this is how this was, because I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not surprised that these were like some songs that some songs are probably finished. Some songs weren't. And if 50's involved, if Steven Victor's involved, if labels are involved, they're going to turn it into, I've got these people that are coming up and I want them to get looks and opportunities. And if Pop Smoke worked with that artist or that producer, whatever they made may not make the album. But now you know that more eyes are going to be on this project because, you know, our culture, we have such a fascination with death that, you know, this is going to be a look for a lot of people. So they're trying to put their people in position to get that look off. And, you know, at its heart of hearts, if it doesn't like accurately capture the spirit of, you know, Pop Smoke's music and, you know, the wishes of his fans and his family and his friends, kind of trash.
Now let me be a little bit more generous and say that the other way that this might have gone is he might have been like, hey, this is my, as he was recording music for this, he might have been like, oh, this is my debut. Mm-hmm, I've got some money. So he goes and he gets mustard for a song called West Coast-ish, right?
No. Oh.
It's like
when two different rappers would lived in different cities and the name of the song would be From Your Hood to My Hood.
or like New York to Detroit Connection.
Yeah, man, like stop.
You know, like there's you know, like I don't know. I got to say I so associated him with that kind of like Brooklyn drill sound to hear him with Quavo and Future on a Buddha Bless beat that just sounded like a Quavo record. I was like, you know, instead of the guest artist kind of playing in his world, sometimes he's playing in their world a little bit. You know what I mean? Like that West Coast-ish record, as soon as I heard the opening things, I didn't even look at the credits. I was able to time the mustard voice drop like immediately. I was like, oh, this is coming. Mustard definitely produced this. Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know, it was kind of, you know, like this. What's the record? What's it called? Got it on. Yeah, there's a record towards the end of this where like he's basically like rapping the hook for Many Men, and I'm like,
I heard about that.
There's a song here that samples "Cheers to You."
Playa?
Yeah, and it's got Puffy's kid on it.
Yeah, he's starting to. Never mind. He's popping up on all these. He's like the guy. Oh, we sampled this '90s record. Like, get him. I don't know. Sure.
But yeah, generally speaking, this did not do it for me at all.
Okay.
But, you know, it's going to go number one. People are streaming this in pretty large numbers.
Yeah, they said 225 to 250.
That's pretty big. And, you know, I hope that however his deal is done up, I hope that his family and his loved ones can see, you know, whatever money that gets you in this age of streaming, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean they got a Juice WRLD project coming out pretty soon too. I see.
Yeah. Oh, I see here that Pop Smoke's estate, they did sign a co-publishing deal covering all his past music as well as the upcoming album. So if they signed that, that probably means that they got paid a nice little upfront money to give away some rights on the back end.
Mm.
So, you know, it's interesting that Dior is once again a bonus track. I've never seen. They're really getting a lot of life out of this. It's on three projects of his now.
Yeah.
But it's got a whole new life now.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for him.
So speaking of charts and how things did. So last week we talked about Kanye and Wash Us in the Blood. So it only had half a week on the charts, right? Not a ton of time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Debuted at number 49. Not super high.
Yeah.
But what's interesting to me is the sales of the song, right? So what he's selling through his website, those numbers are healthy. Those numbers look strong.
Listen, man.
But the streaming numbers, not there yet.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a few things. I think on one hand, I think Kanye has his audience, and I think that they're going to support. I think the vinyl you sent me the picture of the vinyl. I thought the vinyl looked really cool.
Yeah.
I hope that it doesn't take people 6 months to get it like it did with me and my Jesus is King vinyl. I just think that, like, you know, based off of what happened with Black Jordans and White Sox, like, I'm not gonna say I'm never gonna put anything on streaming services again, but
it's all turned around so fast.
Yeah, it switched up. It's just like, oh, okay. I mean, and even, you know, with getting, you know, people buying basically a month trial to our Patreon, and, you know, just finding different ways, because people now more than ever want to support, you know, different avenues, and it's like just creating ways for people to do that. And I think what happened was the back end of the conversation about the song is, I think there are people who are like, who like the song, and they're kind of like scared to like the song. You know, this is Slavery is a Choice Kanye. This is MAGA Kanye. This is Christian Kanye. Like, I'm not supposed to like this song, but like, this is all right. You know, so I'm, that's what I'm seeing from people. And I think that's really, really interesting. I think that that may play into, you know, the healthy sales. But I think also that, like, Kanye has just created an ecosystem that is very, very focused on merch. And anytime he puts merch out or puts something out to buy, his people are going to buy it.
What's interesting to me is, right, so we've talked about this a lot. The charts right now are about attention. That's really what they're trying to capture, is like, mm-hmm. who has the most attention,
mm-hmm.
which is what teens have in abundance,
oh,
right?
Oh, boy.
Teens have a lot of attention, a lot of time and attention to freely give, because especially right now.
Especially, bruh, I could tell you some stories about my summer, boy. Yes.
Are you about ready to try to ban TikTok?
No, it's been one big social experiment. It's been fascinating to see my daughter, my little brother, like, get on TikTok, and the things that are, it's fascinating. It's fascinating.
What's interesting to me is, right, so what you would think would happen would be, like, younger artists would be chasing or artists who have a young fan base would be chasing stuff like TikTok and mm-hmm. that world, because that's where their fans are at, which is what's mm-hmm. driving really big streaming numbers, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But older artists, you would think, might be more about, like, sort of that long-term engagement, that ongoing relationship with your fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean for Kanye, or an artist like Kanye? You might put Drake in the same category, where they've been around a long time. 15-year-olds aren't their big, that's not like their growth market. You know what I mean?
Right.
But numbers and stats and everything that our world, not just hip hop, but our world puts on things like, oh, I'm number one, or I'm this, or I'm that. Like, how's that going to work in this new world now? You know what I mean? Where it's like, it's not that Kanye can't go number one, but, like, let's just say that he has an album that is received similarly to what Wash Us in the Blood is.
Mm-hmm.
That probably goes number one, depending on the week, but it's not a sure shot anymore, because so much of it is driven by streams. And I don't know. I feel like the fact that we're counting, like, what's on TikTok, I mean, YouTube, sure, but especially TikTok, it's just such, like, a monkey wrench. That's it's such a weird, like, flaw in the plan of like, you know what I mean? Of, like, how to mm-hmm. count, like, what is popular or what is the best right now. So I don't know how he's gonna work with that.
I think for somebody like Kanye, Kanye's gonna be one of those artists that will redefine what success is. That will be part of the presentation. Where, you know, it's not necessarily about Billboard, it's about what follows it. It just seems like Kanye is really focused on creating this, like, gigantic ecosystem with Gap stuff and buying all the land in Wyoming. And it's like, you know, I mean, Jace, and he kind of can use what Jay said on the Meek Mill record, like we don't look at Billboard stats. You know, it's one of those rapper flexes that sounds cool, but at the end of the day, you're going to have the Billboard numbers printed out on your desk that following Friday. You are. But, you know, just the fact that Kanye drops in the middle of the week, like, you know, that kind of says to me, I don't really care about streaming numbers. Otherwise, he would have went for a full week, right?
I think so. Yeah.
You know, so I, I don't necessarily know if he cares about it the way that, you know, he has in the past. It's like, what is the number one nowadays? Like, and that's a serious question, like, just for anybody across the board. It's great that Pop Smoke, you know, there's the thing. So for Pop Smoke, 250 your first week is great. That is a feather in your cap. If I sold 250,000 copies of my album first week, oh, I'm posting all of those screenshots. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, but when you're Kanye West, when you're Jay-Z, when you're Kendrick Lamar, when you're J. Cole, when you're Drake, when you're these big artists, you know, like, do you put an emphasis on that? You know, because then you end up looking like Nicki Minaj and you're like, you went number one in like Croatia. You know what I'm saying? It's like, does that even matter? Does that hold weight to somebody at that space? I don't know if it does. Versus maybe somebody like a Travis. You know, Travis, it's like all the Kanye fans that are older, like now their nephews listen to Travis.
Right.
So I don't know.
I feel like we're due for Travis, right?
I wouldn't be surprised if he was one of those people that got pushed back.
Mm.
Like, now's not the time. Theoretically is the time for Travis. Nobody wants to hear Travis Scott music right now. The environment is not conducive to Travis Scott music whatsoever. But yeah, Astroworld, it would have been time around now. Definitely.
Yeah. Speaking of Kanye,
Oh, okay. Never mind.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I forgot to talk about Pop Smoke because we didn't talk about all this Drake and Pusha T stuff. I think maybe somebody asked our Patreon. Somebody asked on our Patreon, so we can save it for them.
Did they? I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
I feel like they did. Hold on. not going to answer those questions. Oh, I guess they didn't. Okay, they didn't.
So why do so many Pusha T records where he's getting digs in on Drake? Why do they keep not making the actual album? What is going on? Is this like the second or third time?
So that didn't make the album? I thought it did. It didn't?
I don't think so, no.
Okay. You know, I think it's the same people who are calling Drake petty for, you know, getting these verses taken off albums are the same people who rejoice because Drake didn't share his kid on social media and then somehow made him a deadbeat dad. I think there's just a lot of, you know, in the words of Dame Dash, there's just a lot of chatty patty going on both sides. And, you know, like it's kind of stupid.
Does he got anything else? Like, is this all he's going to do forever?
Yeah, dog. I need some Pusha T music. Like, he's supposed to be doing some with Madlib. Like, go give me that.
I don't need you to diss Drake the entire time. Like, he's been dissing Drake for coming on 15 years now.
Yeah.
Well, first it was, right, well, let's just say the Lil Wayne Drake lineage. He's been beefing with them since Mr. Me Too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2020.
We got it for cheap, volume 2. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we can move on, right?
Yeah.
Can he move on?
Theoretically.
Okay.
He should be able to, but you know, it's to the point now where, like, the more you do it, he's starting to look like with Joe Budden, like, put out the first diss record. Okay, cool. Second diss record. Whoa, third diss record. All right, fourth diss record. All right. You know what I'm saying? It's like the fact that Drake isn't responding is the best thing that he could do at this point.
Oh, yeah. He should say, you know, nothing.
He shouldn't say anything. And so I just want Pusha to just drop some other, just put out this Madlib project. I need a good version of Bandana. I need a version of Bandana with a good rapper.
Oh.
Like, give me that, please. I said it. It's all right. We might have new listeners that might call me a hater based off of that. But I've talked and explained at length my Freddie Gibbs issues. They go back to his Gangsta Grills. Like, this isn't new. But what, I digress.
So
Kanye's running for president.
Kanye's running for president. Sort of. Kind of.
Yes.
He announced it. He did that much. Well, he tweeted it.
And nowadays, I mean, we talked about this is the no name and J. Cole thing. Tweeting means you did it.
Yeah, he tweeted it.
Doc said, yep.
You know, what are you going to say? Is he serious? Was he just reckless on Twitter? Is that the same thing? Who knows?
You know, I don't think that Kanye is the reckless guy that he was a couple years ago. Like, I really don't think he's that. But
you don't think so?
Nah. We would have got a couple rants by now. We haven't gotten any rants. I think, and if he does want to have a reckless moment, I think Kim and Dr. Dre are right there. Like, nope, give me your phone. So who knows? Is he serious? I don't care.
This is the amazing thing about this is the world we're going to live in now in the post Donald Trump era, right? Where it's just like, or we're still in the Trump era, but like after Trump, we'll no longer be able to say, oh, that's not serious. We'll be like,
yeah.
Do you remember?
Right.
He went from coming down the escalator and to being our president. It's a thing that happened. So, you know, nothing's impossible.
Yeah, I still said Trump opened the floodgates. So like nowadays, if The Rock runs for president, nobody should be surprised anymore. Like those are the things that are a direct reflection of our country and our culture. Like next we're going to have, you know, Flavor Flav run or, you know, somebody that was getting VH1 checks, Mona Scott. Like at this point, there's no credence. There's no like the chair is open to anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's how a lot of people look at it.
I would kind of hope that we would all look at this and go, oh, so maybe it's useful to have been in public service just somewhere, maybe before we give you the most important job in the U.S. But I think you're right. And I think for a portion of the country, they're just going to be like, lol, nothing matters.
I mean, this is the most that people have had to care about politics like ever. You know what I'm saying? I think the problem is, you know, if you follow this show long enough, you know, it's taken me a while to really like address it. You know, I went from I don't care, I don't really vote, I vote local, to like really, you know, being studious and reading and, you know, asking questions. I think the problem is like now everybody's a freaking CNN expert. You know, everybody has a degree in political science now, Doc. And that's where the problem lies. You know, like, people are either going to say, it doesn't matter, or they know exactly what this country needs, and that's the direction to go in, and nothing else. It's like, not so fast. I don't know. I'm over it.
Let me ask you this. So it sounds like you don't think, this is the last thing we can say about this, it sounds like you don't necessarily think that he's just trying to drum up promotion for his album, right?
No, I'm not the, I don't know. But if he is, I don't care.
Okay.
Like, I don't know. Kanye is kind of, I don't know. Maybe because I don't think that Kanye is just the random, or not random, he's very random, but he's not where he was a few years ago. I just don't think that. So I don't know. But I'm saying this is the guy who mixed, mastered, and released his last two projects like in 12 hours. Of course he's going to announce that he's running for president in 2020, 4 months before we vote. Of course he is. It's on brand. Like this is him handing the files to Mike Dean.
Because I bet he would probably tell you that for a long time, first with music, then with fashion, the problem was he had too many people who were telling him no,
mm-hmm.
when he knew he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's gone from a world where he thought there were too many people telling him no to a world where there's absolutely nobody in his life who tells him no.
Except Dr. Dre.
Maybe. We have one song that we've heard of.
I know, but it's
like,
sounds like no.
What's that?
It sounds like no. I think the last person to tell Kanye no was Rick Rubin, creatively.
Maybe. Right. Well, there's creatively, but then there's also like interest in his life. Like, the, you know, he clearly is not workshopping these tweets in the group chat. You know what I mean?
I think he's working all these. Like, should I say this? I think he's running all these by
Kim. You think by Kim?
He's definitely, they're definitely sitting on the couch. He's like, should I say this? And she's like, no, Kanye. Absolutely. Kim is his publicist.
I don't know.
Absolutely. Because Chris won't touch him.
It feels a little too chaotic for that, for all that, you know?
Yeah. I agree.
I think it's definitely proof that he is in creative mode, right? Because
100%.
I'm not going to try and sit there and pretend that I am a psychiatrist and I can diagnose people, but whether he is bipolar or whether he is, let's just say he very clearly has times in his life where he is full of creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the surges that lead up to his projects being released, right? He's very obviously in one of those right now.
Yeah.
So do you think that maybe, I'm trying to think, is there any celebrity who you think would be an interesting choice for like just a random, you know what, I'm going to run for president? Or is that not really who you want to see run for president?
I just want to see qualified candidates run and be selected, you know? Like I want to see people who have, you know, who have policies and who have, you know, teams and things in place to, you know, really change this country or be open to changing this country. Like, I would love to see that. Like, it's just turned into a poop show at this point. It's just like, I would love to see that. Like, my kingdom for a qualified candidate without all the, you know, shenanigans. But to answer your question, probably, I don't know. I don't know, DMX, who knows?
The Rock, you want to see The Rock run?
No, I don't want to see The Rock run because I think The Rock is probably, I don't know. It's weird, like we're in this really important time and I think The Rock is like super safe. I think The Rock is like, yeah, we can do that. Like he's very warm and inviting and I don't know. Would The Rock say no?
No, he wouldn't say no.
Yeah. Nah, even if it's a no, it would be such a nice way of saying it that the person wouldn't feel like it was no until they were like out the room. Like, oh, wait, I'm not getting my policy funded. But man, The Rock's a great guy. Who knows? I don't know.
Who would be the worst rapper to run for president?
Pusha T. Everybody. Soulja Boy. Yo, everybody would be terrible presidents. Terrible presidents. Drake would be a terrible president. You know, speech from Arrested Development would. Oh yeah, that's right. Sure, absolutely. Lupe would make a terrible president. Mims would make a terrible president.
Ron Browns would make a terrible.
Listen, I would go to jail for attempted assassination of Ron Browns. Can you imagine what the inauguration would be for Ron Browse winning the presidency? Can you imagine the concert that they would have?
He just gets up there and he's got the auto-tune hooked up to the mic when he's doing the swearing-in ceremony.
With the... And then I just imagine him like that Ryan Leslie video. Like there's just a bunch of like instruments on stage and he's just going to each one playing stuff, building up Pop Champagne.
Ether boy. Yeah, it's just coming.
Who's his running mate? Jim Jones? Like who else ran and destroyed that era? The rock star era, the chicken noodle soup era. Oh boy.
Okay. All right. Speaking of people who should run for president.
Yes.
50 Cent.
Lloyd Banks would make a terrible president. The Game would make a terrible president.
Oh man, just how many presidents would he name drop in the inauguration speech?
Dog. I sleep in the same bed as Theodore Roosevelt. Like it would just be it would be so trash. Like please relax.
So 50 Cent has been in the news for a couple reasons lately,
mm-hmm.
but he was challenged to
challenge.
What's that?
I just challenge.
Oh, challenged to a versus appearance competition. I don't know what we call them. They're not really competitions, but you know,
fisticuffs. Yeah,
sure. he was challenged by your man, T.I.P.
Clifford.
And so you know. T.I. was, you know, he was feeling himself. He told him, you know, go ahead, bring all of Shady, bring Dre, bring. It's like, okay, all right, relax. But it's caused some interesting conversation on Twitter, not so much like about the drama, but more like the idea of like, would that be an interesting versus?
No.
Okay.
I think I want to see those two guys. I don't want to see them against each other. I guess you could sell it as a fight, the King of New York versus the King of the South, like from their respective eras. But like 50 would just go in his mixtape bag and it would just get really ugly really fast.
It would definitely. I mean, they have very different careers, right? T.I. is far more consistent, but
yeah. Okay, I have to think about that. Okay.
Far more consistent. I mean, but, you know, he can sit there and play all those paper trail hits, but...
Would you try to out-hit 50, though? Because all he has to do is go get Rich or Die Tryin' and sprinkle in some G-Unit.
I think you would kind of bait him. You want him to play just a little AO bit. Technology. You want him to play... you want him to...
Yeah.
Right. You want him to play Baby by Me, right?
No, there's only two people that I want to see 50 against. I just thought about it.
Okay.
Either Cam'ron or Lil Wayne. You could do a mixtape. If it was 50 versus Wayne, strictly mixtape records, or 50 versus Cam, strictly mixtape records, those would be phenomenal battles.
I don't even think he is strictly mixtape. Like, I think it's the non-mixtape stuff that makes Cam and 50 an interesting matchup to me.
Okay.
Because like we talked about last week, Cam has so many iconic anthems.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd think verses would be about who's got the bigger hits, but it's not necessarily about that.
It's not. Nope.
It's like if you're the people's champ, then you're winning on verses. And if Cam gets up there, Cam could just start playing records off. He could start playing cuts off of Diplomatic Immunity. He'd be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he's gonna be okay. He could be. I think would he beat 50? I think that's a really interesting battle. Actually, 50 and Cam, 50 and Wayne. Wayne's career is so long.
That's what I'm saying. Wayne is probably Wayne and Drake would be dope.
Yeah.
You know, Wayne. I think Wayne and Jay. Like, I think Wayne could play records. Like, Wayne could create 20 records or bring up a list of 20 records that could keep up with Jay that format.
This is where I put I tighten my JanSport a little tight and I throw on actually I hate the Yankees, but you know, my metaphorical Yankees cap. And I say, nah, sorry. But that's that's the problem with verses with going between different regions is you get regionalism becomes a real problem, right? Like that's the 50 TI problem in a nutshell, because there are folks who grew up on Atlanta hip hop who are like, TI is going to smoke 50 Cent.
Facts.
And then there are people from New York who are like, who? TI?
Yeah.
The guy we didn't care about until What You Know?
Yep.
That guy?
Yep. He's going to play stuff from his first two albums and people are going to be like, huh?
They're going to be like, play Rubber Band Man.
Yeah. Yeah. That isn't going to work. I agree. But then it's like, so then do you do T.I. and Jeezy? But then it's almost, it feels like that's selling T.I. short, because T.I.
had a longer... T.I. has hits that Jeezy does not have.
Facts. Yep. So where do you go? You know, because Jeezy's somebody who would be in that conversation. I think he needs to get in the ring. But like, who does he get in the ring with?
Maybe with T.I. and Wayne?
I can see T.I. and Wayne. I think Wayne smokes a lot of people. Like 20? And he gets into his mixtape, bag with 20? He can definitely do 20 and get a lot of people out of here.
Who would you put against Busta?
We talk about this every week, Doc. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how to solve these problems. You know, I'm like, okay, who could you pair with this?
You got LL, you got Nas, you got Busta, you got Missy, you got T.I., you got Wayne, you got 50, you got Jeezy, you got Cam'ron. Like, those are 10 people right there that still somehow need to mix it up.
Jeezy and Game.
I can see Jeezy and Game.
I think Jeezy's going to win that, probably.
Yeah, because Game has a lot of good album cuts.
Yeah.
That people aren't really going to, it's not going to work in a versus format. Whereas Jeezy's got enough notable records mixed with some mixtape records, B-sides, guest appearances. You know, he's got Rihanna records in the tuck. He's got Jay-Z records in the tuck.
Right.
You know, Game just doesn't have that. But Game has a phenomenal... Oh, you got Rick Ross.
Ross.
You know, Ross is somebody who either his 20 records are going to get somebody out of here, or he's going to pick the wrong 20 and he's going to get smoked. And you know, I love Ross's discography.
Yeah.
But his opponent is very... Ross and Jeezy would work. I think I Ross mean, and Jeezy's perfect.
Would you do Ross and 50?
No. Not at all. Not
Ross
at all.
And well, Jeezy's a good one, yeah.
I think Ross and Jeezy's where you go. I'm cool okay. with that. I'm cool with T.I. and Wayne. I feel like T.I. and Nas, T.I. and Busta, T.I. and LL, like that's not quite, that's too, you talked about regional bias, then there's generational bias in that one. Yeah,
T.I. and Nas, I don't know if that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I don't think any of those work.
T.I. and Busta, they have two very different careers.
Yeah, but like Busta gets into like, he plays Scenario, he sure. plays PTA, like he plays some of those older records that like the audience that T.I. is bringing in is like, what? Huh? Right. Nah, those don't work. Like he would have to go, give me some more. Like he'd have to go 98 and on.
Oh, he could play Wu-Ha. He could only play Wu-Ha. He could always play Wu-Ha.
I want him to play Everything Remains Raw.
He could play Put Your Hands Where My Eyes Can See.
Yeah, for sure.
He just better not play that Mariah record.
He's 100% playing the Mariah record. Are you serious? What? Of course he's playing the Mariah record. We talk about those cards, those Trump cards that people, the Jay-Z record, the Rihanna record, the Beyonce record. I still say Mariah gets a lot of people out of here too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to see, like, you know, if they do Rihanna, okay, here we go. If they do Rihanna and Beyonce, then they would have to do Mariah and Janet. Mariah and Janet would be fire.
Yeah.
That's perfect. It's perfect. Those are the only two that can keep up with each other. And there's no, and generation, all that stuff ties in together. Like that would actually go crazy. But I wouldn't be surprised if either one of those or one person in particular would consider that format beneath them.
So basically Versus needs to call us is what you're saying. They need to cut the check.
Absolutely. 100%. Let's do it. We could do the post party. We could do like what Clue and Envy did after the Fab and Jadakiss. And we could DJ different sets. We could play like all the B-sides. I'm down with that.
Except it's really just you and me doing a live breakdown of what just happened, obviously.
Yeah. I still would want to DJ though. We could DJ.
I'm like, I'm DJ? What are you talking about?
Yeah, we can still DJ. We could just, you know, just add some flex bombs and Clue laughs and glass breaking. You know what I'm saying? That would be dope to do a post game of a Versus. We should do that. We should do a Clock Radio Speakers. We should do an Instagram Live. Like if there's a really good Versus, we should hop on Instagram Live and do like a post Versus thing. That'd be kind of dope.
Hmm. Okay. We might have to think. Yeah. It means I have to stay up.
Well, maybe there's like a Saturday one that ends a little early. Like, I don't know. That would have been cool to do it would have been cool to do one for Fab and Jada.
That was right up our alley.
Yeah. Another one's coming. If there's another one's coming that we can do.
For sure. Is there anything else we need to talk about this week, man?
No, because it's late and I want to get to this post show.
Yeah, so we're normally every week we do a pre-show for our Patreon subscribers. This week, due to the times we had to record with Taylor, we're doing a post show. So Patreon subscribers, you're gonna hear this. Obviously, if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you can go to clockradiospeakers.com and click Patreon up at the top, or patreon.com/CRS podcast. Starts at $5 a month. We appreciate it. Anything else you want to talk about?
No. All right. Not at all.